And now I'm going to invite Tim Schindel. I know Tim's going, oh, now I have to speak? Please know that I had a conversation with Tim this week to let him know so I'm not throwing him under the bus. And I believe that Tim has something that the Lord has put on his heart for City Light this morning, something that speaks to this morning. And so I know that the timing is right because God's timing is always right. So Tim, I'd love to pray with you. And then I'll give you the stage. Father God, we just thank you for Tim and Barb. We thank you for their hearts to come and worship and serve with us and walk along with us as well. And they've been walking this stuff with us as we've been walking with it. And so we just thank you for their servant hearts, their hearts that are about you first. And so this morning, I just want to pray a blessing and an anointing on Tim. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you just pour yourself over him this morning, and that this message that you've put into his heart just lands exactly where it's supposed to land. And so anointing all over his words and all over his time here this morning. In your name I pray, Father. Amen.
Well, you know what? The best way to break in after a moment like that is to just mess up your mic. That was very well played. We did that very excellent there, Joe. I've spent like, well, I don't want to admit how many years, but it's more than 35 and just about half as old as Doug is. So I spent a while in ministry, and I have in my years of ministry, I have been on staff when there have been senior leadership changes. I have been a part of sometimes facilitating staff changes, sometimes saying goodbye to staff, and I've resigned, and you know, and I've done interim stuff and followed people coming through churches, and I know that when seasons change in the church, there's a whole bunch of dynamics that come into play. Like, just it's just kind of like you can hit really smooth water and take off and go, or you can hit really rough water. Right? And both of those things can come very suddenly, and they can change very suddenly. And so when my original plan, because Doug had asked me to speak a while ago, was to kind of give you, I've been in Ottawa this week, let's talk about Ottawa, talk about, you know, the scriptures on Parliament Hill and all of that. And then I caught word that this was coming, and it's like, well, it just seems really out of touch to talk about Ottawa on a day like today. Right, in a church filled with people that we love and care deeply about, and so hear my kind of old dog words today as we share some moments and some thoughts together. But let's take me to the next slide, please. I want to show you this picture that I took. You see, those leaves, no filter. I took picture of those leaves in Ottawa Thursday afternoon. They're just colors there are just spectacular. Solomon, in his wisdom, from Ecclesiastes, not Song of Solomon, we're not in Song of Solomon today, but we're in Ecclesiastes today. Follow me on this. For everything, there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to kill, and a time to heal. I mean, Solomon really, like, he's intense, right? Kill and be healed, right? A time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away. All of you hoarders, hear that verse. A time to hear, or a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate. God takes us through seasons. He walks us as a people, whether in our personal lives, there are life seasons. Sometimes, sadly, there are marriage seasons where the season changes, not for the better. Sometimes in our work, in our professional career, seasons change, right? We learn this. Seasons change with our children, right? And so change is a constant within the heart and with the plan of God. And where we are today, and while I'm not going to speak directly to the issue, but it would be foolish to pretend that we're not now in this season of change. So I'm going to just kind of give you some high-level thoughts on how we navigate change. So one of the things that I know in these moments is that there is a spectrum of emotion. Some people sitting here today, you're very disappointed. Some of you feel hurt. Some of you may be a little bit angry. Some of you are going, what the heck? Or worse. Right? Some of you are going, oh. We feel things. Because changing seasons create emotional responses for us. If you could just advance me one slide there, that would be fantastic. And here's the temptation, right? There's this crazy thing that we do in church. We say, well, we're family and we love each other and this is a safe place and everything else. And that's true. But the temptation for us is always to bury and deny what we feel because somehow that feels more spiritual, right? Doesn't matter what's happening on the inside. Glory to Jesus, I'm going through on top, right? I'm on top, I'm winning, I'm all good, even though on the inside I'm really not good. And that's, I'll tell you, after, you know, many years of pastoral ministry, I'd say this, that we pack this stuff inside and we pack it away and we pack it away and we pack it away. And then one day somebody says something, maybe it's related, maybe it's not related, and the volcano erupts, right? And stuff goes everywhere. All of the toxins, all of the poison, all of the pain just gets puked over people, and it's messy, right? And so one moment, water, it's all smooth sailing, and the next moment, you're in a hurricane. Right? And so much of it rests on what we pack inside. We pack inside, we pack inside, until one day there's a trigger and it's like kaboom. So friends, I'd say number one, acknowledge your feelings, acknowledge your emotions, and process what you feel. Number two, I'd say this, find healing for your hurt. Now I know that life groups are starting this week. Somebody nod at me. Some life group, right? If you're in a life group starting this week, right? Don't go to life group and kind of puke all over everybody in the group about all of your stuff. Probably not your best idea. But staying in community is one way that we process what we feel, right? Sometimes maybe you need to talk. I mean, pastoral or an elder, talk to an elder, right? Unburden yourself, talk to them. If your stuff is really deep and it's... Because sometimes this is what happens, right? We live our lives in ways that we just pack everything in. We just pack everything in. And then something, maybe a moment like this, triggers a whole bunch of other things. And it's like, well, time for a professional. And there's no shame in going to see a professional who can walk you through things. So if this triggers a whole bunch of other things for you, go talk to somebody who can help you, right? Not me. I cannot help you. If you're bleeding on the side of the road, I can bandage you up and I can call 911. But there are people who are way better at this stuff than I am. Number two, this is really important. Honor everyone involved. Honor everyone involved. I know that over the last, you know, little while, this has been a tremendously difficult for church leadership. This has been a tremendous burden. It has not been easy. It's not been hair trigger. Well, boom, okay, it's over now. There's been a process. They've walked through this prayerfully, thoughtfully. They have grieved. They have carried. They have wondered. They have worried. They've examined themselves. Honor everyone, okay? Honor everyone. Chris and Angela are good people. They are good people, and they as the statement said, they love Jesus, they love the kingdom, they want people to experience what God is doing. Just kind of happens that in this situation, it's not a fit, right? That's no bad on anybody. Now, I know somebody's going to say, well, didn't we pray about this? My friends, how many times have you prayed about stuff and made terrible mistakes anyway? Right? when we pastored in Kamloops, we had God was doing some like incredible things for us. And we got pretty fired up about the favor of God and the blessing of God and the opportunity in the community and everything else. And so one of our board members, a very capable man, had his job had ended with the mill that he was working at. He was in management. His job had ended. And we were talking about community ministry and focus. And so, you know, we prayed about it. We added 35% to our budget and then ran out of money 6 months later. Not a happy time in the pastor's office in those days. But we prayed about it. And to a man, we all agreed that this is what we were going to do, right? And then things get messy. And we forgot how to honor people. And it became hurtful. So we want to speak positively whenever we can. Don't deny, right? Don't deny your stuff. But speak positively. Be redemptive in your perspective. The most important part is to ask the question, what is God teaching us or me in this situation? What is God teaching us? Why has he let, believing that the choice, you know, you made in December is the right choice for City Light, why are we here today? Because God has ways of doing things that we don't always understand to take us to places he wants us to go, right? We could trust him. Trust him. Number three, I'd say guard your heart. Guard your heart. Again, enough time in church. Enough time in church to know that anger, resentment, and unforgiveness are the devil's playground. We create chaos in marriages, creates chaos in families, creates chaos personally, certainly creates chaos in church when we don't guard our hearts and protect them. And so part of guarding our hearts and protecting them is to seek genuine resolution, right? I hated this when I was pastoring. When I knew that there were problems and the people involved had said, oh, you know, we forgive you, we forgive each other, we forgive you, I forgive you, will you forgive me, yada, 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 right? But nothing ever changed, right? You could still cut the tension with a knife. And nothing ever changed, and it's like nothing is getting better here. This is just getting worse. We're just wallpapering over it. We're just wallpapering over it. We have to seek genuine resolution and restoration. Matthew quotes Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. He says, go and be reconciled. Then come and offer your gift. These years ago, Barb and I were at a pastor's retreat, a denominational pastor's retreat, Fairmont Hot Springs. If you're going to go somewhere on a retreat, go to Fairmont Hot Springs, suffer for Jesus in the pools. You know, it's good. It's all good. And the speaker that they had in was trying to force an issue. He's trying to make a point and force an issue. And it was kind of a generational thing, right, where he's like, you know, so he comes and he preaches this message, and then he says this. Now, if you're here today, and you have something against someone else, I want you to come forward, confess what that is. Any of you been through these services from hell? Right? Right? So I want you to come, you know, just come forward, confess, ask forgiveness of the person who's offended you, and then you can be reconciled and move on. Now, I'll just be honest with you. I am the kind of person that attracts offense from other people. Right, I mean, I just have the ability sometimes by blinking my eyes and breathing to tick someone off. So my game plan, I'd only been through one other of these, right? But my game plan was this. My game plan was, I'm just going to borrow this chair. So my game plan was this. I'm going to put my head down, and I'm going to pray. And my first prayer is, oh God, please just make me invisible. You know, so I'd pray, just make me invisible right now. Just please make me invisible. But I'd open my eyes. I could see my hands. So I knew that he wasn't going to answer the invisible prayer. So I prayed again. And I was like, I prayed in tongues this time, but I knew that I was praying that he would make me like Enoch, or he would make me like Elisha and just carry me away in a chariot of fire so I don't have to endure any more of this horrific experience. Prayed in tongues once, prayed in tongues twice, prayed in tongues, still nothing. So I was like, oh, okay, I know why it is. It's because I'm not praying the scriptures, right? If you pray the scriptures, Jesus has to answer, right? It's shallow theology, but you know, if I pray the scriptures, Jesus will answer. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I'm praying harder for the rapture in the basement of the Fairmont Springs than I prayed for the rapture or anything else ever before. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly, come quickly, come quickly. And he's still not showing up. He's still not showing up. And so it's like, okay, well, I'm just going to shut up, keep my head down, and maybe no one will recognize me. It's like I've led worship all week, because how are they not going to recognize me? But keep my head down, keep my head down. And then this person gets up and said, I need to ask Tim for my forgiveness. It's like, oh, Mary, Joseph, Sandra. I'm not Catholic, but it just seems funny to me to say that. Oh, and so it's like, oh, do I have to look at this? I guess the holy thing to do is to lift my eyes. There I am. I need to ask you for being angry, or ask your forgiveness for being angry with you and jealous of you. And it's like, again, in my head, right? What the heck? When did I even have a conversation with you about anything ever? And I'm sort of looking, and she goes, this is the actual repentance statement. This is the actual repentance statement. I've been jealous of the move of God you had in your church. And I was angry at you because of it, because we wanted what you had and couldn't get it. It's like, really? See, take that up with Jesus. That's not me. So then after she does her piece, then I have to stand up and extend forgiveness. It's like, okay, this is the wackiest thing I've ever experienced, right? So I'm making fun of myself, and you know, I may be exaggerating some portions of the story, right? I pray not that God would take me like Enoch, but just like Elisha, because I think going out in a chariot of fire would be just about as cool as riding a Harley. But sometimes we force things, right, in these moments, because everything is raw, and we want to force things to make it better. And look, at any apology that's forced is just weird, right? It's not real. It's not like, oh, you know, just somehow this is touching my heart. The whole thing just becomes weird, right? You know, like one of the funny things is, I chuckle about this, right? It's like, again, because I have, again, because of this personality that God has given me, not only have I offended a lot of people, but you know, have people been offended by me, but I've offended a lot of people. So like I'm basically like a professional apologizer. Right? I've just learned how to do it, right? And so it's like, you know, and I know that the way to do it is not to stand up in front of the church and, you know, Claudio, I'm jealous of you. Well, actually, I can't think of a reason why, but no. Because you have more Dixon shirts than I do. But this reconciliation piece is really important. And so I was kind of trying to find something, find like a hook that I could put this on to share with you. And then yesterday in my pastor's group, one of the guys put something up about an apology scorecard. So if you've got your phones, take a picture of the next slide, because this is really, really, really good stuff. Here's what an apology should look like, right? Number one, we surrender. We surrender. Which means I give up my need, my desire my ambition to control the agenda, right? I lay all of that down. I lay all of that down, and I open with, I owe you an apology. You don't have to, I mean, please, if you're going to do this after church today with somebody, please don't read it off your screen, right? This is going to be weird, right? But I owe you an apology. I think one of the, like, you know, I this is just me. Some of you are more spiritual than me, right? So it might be a different experience for you. But for me, right, by the time I'm at the place where I know that I need to apologize to somebody, Jesus has ground me and ground me and ground me till I know that I know that I know that I know that I have screwed up and that I need to own it and make it right. So you know, I did this one time. I was like, you know, hey, if I've offended you, and Holy Spirit's in my ears, like, buck up, man up, right? You know that you offended that person. If I have to say, if I've offended you, I'm already guilty. Black as sin, guilty, right? I owe you an apology. See, I confess. I was wrong when I, whatever it is, I was wrong when I. So I acknowledge my sin, and then I take ownership of my sin. I take ownership of my actions. I take complete responsibility. You see, it's one thing to say, you know, I'm really sorry. I got upset in the moment. Because you were just a complete jerk. And you said stuff that made me really angry, and my response was wrong. You can't say the part about you were a jerk. You can't say that and call it an apology. Because you've already surrendered your rights. Right? I take complete responsibility. My responses are my actions. And I own them. Recognition, or I see the impact of my words and actions. You know, we're raising our kids, right? Teach your kids to apologize. One of our children, we won't name names, one of our children would give me, the best I could get was, sorry. And if I really, really doubled down, put on, you know, full on dad, I'd get, I'm sorry. That usually was, I had to, but to get there, I had to leverage, I will kill your cell phone contract. Right? I see the impact of my actions. Finally, empathy. And you would never say this, but I am grieved and filled with remorse over how I've treated. Just take that. That's all for free. That's all for free. The apology scorecard. But until I feel the remorse, the genuine remorse for what I've done, I don't think my apology is ever real. Right? If my goal in an apology is just to get out of the very tight spot that I've created for myself, right? If my goal is just to get out of the space between the rock and the hard place, well, then I'm really not apologizing. I'm just preserving myself. But I say, Mike, I just really realize how I have hurt you. And I'm very sorry that I have. That lands a lot better than just please just let me go. You know, please just let me go. I don't know what number we're on, but the next slide says protect, renew, and build relationships. Protect, renew, and build relationships. You know what I love about City Light is that you are the most relational church I've ever been a part of. Everybody loves everybody. If you don't love everybody, don't tell me. Just let me live with my illusion, right? But everybody just loves everybody. There's not a lot of pretense here, right? And there are these signs. There are these signs that show that everybody loves everybody. I got to tell you this morning, it's the first time I've had a cup of Jordan's hooch. And during worship, I'm sipping my hooch. And it's like, Oh, I raise a hallelujah. Right? Everybody comes early for Jordan's hooch. And I don't know, even know what you put in there, but it made me sweat like crazy when I was drinking it. So, you know. You know what? We are the church. The church isn't the building. The church isn't the board. The church isn't the pastor. The church isn't the elders. We collectively, we are all the church. City Light models that and lives that out better than most. Better than most. Be encouraged in that. And I'd say that in this season, it's really important to protect, renew, and build on that. Here's what I know, that the health and functionality of our relationships determines the health and functionality of the church. So there's a guy named Christian Schwartz. Christian Schwartz he's a church health specialist. And Christian Schwartz studied 1,000 churches all around the world that were growing. 1,000 churches that were growing. They were small churches, mid-sized churches, large churches. And he looked for what were the common denominators. He came up with 8. Some of these are off the top of my head, so I'm probably not going to get to 8. But one was loving relationships. One was inspiring worship. One was gift-oriented ministry. One was functional structures. And I forget what the other ones were. But if you really care about it, it's natural church development. That he came up with this thing. And so what I learned was that you could take his study and you could apply it to any local church, and you could measure all of the, you do an assessment, you could get take your temperature, like a checkup, right? Take your temperature, and you get an actual grid of here's what you're really good at, here's what you're okay at, here's where you're going to need some help, here's what you really need to focus on. So his imagery was that every local church was like a barrel, and the barrel had 8 staves. Okay, so there's 8 staves that make up the barrel. And his premise is God is always blessing the church. God is always pouring out his goodness on the church. But the church can only contain God's blessing to the height of the lowest stave. Okay, so you got that picture? Right? To the height of the lowest stave. So, because sadly I have experienced what it's like when a church doesn't have healthy, functional, loving relationships. Right? And so it didn't matter what we did up here. Didn't matter what I preached on. It didn't matter the kind of vision. None of those things really mattered because everybody knew. You could just feel it. Everybody in the room wanted to kill each other, right? We just all wanted to kill each other. Just have a fight, get it out, right? But that doesn't actually how you build a church, right? That just drops the score lower. So God's pouring in his blessing, but it's all running out. We're not containing any of it. We're not able to leverage any of it. So we could talk about natural church development another time, but the health and functionality of our relationships determines the health and functionality of the church. So you want the church to do well in this particular characteristic. Keep your relationships healthy. Choose your vowels, not your pronouns. No one wants to laugh? Too soon. Choose your vowels. Our responses to our experiences shape our character. Right? How I respond to what's happening around me shapes my character. Friends of mine lost a son to cancer when he was about 5 years old. Terrible, terrible, terrible experience, terrible journey to go through. But they have leveraged his death into raising literally millions of dollars for cancer research in Saskatchewan. And my friend's wife puts up on Facebook all the time as she talks about this and processes this, we get to choose. We get to choose if we will be better or if we will be bitter. We choose to be better. And little Brandon's life ended when he was 5 years old, but his legacy has lived on for now almost 25 years. Incredible to see the impact that this little life, this far too short life had and continues to have today. So choose your vowels. You want to be better, you want to be bitter, right? Finally, learn from your mistakes. Everybody makes them. Everybody makes them. Learn the art of failing forward. None of us get out of life unscathed, right? We all make poor choices. We all say dumb things. We all make bad decisions, right? John Maxwell says this, right? You know, if this happens to you or not, but or if it has ever happened to you, but you know, you're walking along where and you fall down, take a tumble and you fall down, and what's our first instinct? I mean, when you're younger, like Doug, not like you, like not at your point in life, but when you're younger, right, you want to scramble up right away, make it look like nobody knows. Actually, this happened to me walking. We're just getting started the legislature here, and I was late for something, and I was nervous about everything in those days. And I'm coming up the steps to the ledge, and I'm going up them really fast, and my foot catches one of the steps, catches the edge of the step, and I face plant on the front of the steps, right? I didn't hurt myself, but it was just like, bam, push up, and I'm back up on my feet again, like, right? But there's like 5 security guys who all see it happen. They laugh at me while I'm pretending nothing happened, right? Maxwell says this, before you get back up, take a look around and figure out why you fell. It's called failing forward. Turn your pain and a purpose. Finally, finish with this thought. Look and move forward. Friends, you know what? We don't get to the future by looking in our rearview mirror. We don't get to tomorrow by looking at yesterday. One particular season, we're in our church, and it's convulsing. Like, I can't even tell you how bad it is. But the church is just convulsing. And my very, very good and prophetic friend, pastoring in Vancouver, now with Jesus, but called me one day. And it was like I was in such a spot. I was in such a spot. I wasn't answering the phone, even from people that I knew. I just didn't want to. I wanted to manage every conversation. I wanted to protect myself as much as I could. And my friend George leaves me this message. I saved it. I saved it even after he had passed away. I saved this message. Tim, this is your friend, George Johnson from Vancouver. There was only one George Johnson. This is your friend, George Johnson. I've been thinking about you. I just want you to know. I feel like the Lord wants me to share this with you. Your future's in the harvest, Tim. Doesn't matter what's happening around you. Your future's in the harvest. That word for me was like life. That word for me was life. City Light, your future is in the harvest, right? You're in a good place, right? It's not you don't hate each other. I watch you, you know, consume everything on the table after church. None of you hate each other, right? If anything, you're just maybe a little jealous because somebody, actually, I got the first brownie today. I just want you to know. Asher was there. I said, Asher, what's that over by the door? He looked over by the door. I reached and scooped a brownie. It's like preaching fuel. The Lord says this. For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. City Light, your best days are ahead of you. I know there have been some glory days in the past. I know there have been some glory days in this building. But your best days are down the road. Keep looking forward. Keep pressing forward. Keep following what God puts in your heart. Don't be afraid to do it. Let me pray with you. Well, God, changing seasons can be confusing for us, difficult for us. We try to process just the gamut of everything that we're experiencing emotionally and the questions that run through our minds and everything else. We would say in this moment, Lord Jesus, we are your church. We are your people. Be near us. Help us walk through this season in a way that would honor, glorify you, would honor, and glorify the people around us, would honor and glorify your plans and your purposes, what you have for us. We pray especially today for the elders and the board that will, deacons, who are tasked now with the responsibility of steering this forward. We pray that you would give them great grace, you give them great wisdom, you give them great, great courage as they steer the ship forward, looking to you as master and commander. So we put our trust in you, we put our hope in you, ask you to go before us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So one thing, whatever, sure. So before we go, Claudio's statement, right, takes courage to stand up here and make those kind of statements. That's a big, big deal. Claudio didn't speak for himself. He spoke for the team. I think we need to acknowledge the team and just express our appreciation to them for their service through this time. Yeah. And now, my friends, I'll pronounce a double portion blessing on the first person to bring me a little brownie bit.